This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Another Astroworld fatality. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Monday, November 15. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
A week and a half after a deadly fan surge at a concert in Houston, a nine-year-old boy has succumbed to his injuries.
Closing arguments today in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. The National Guard is on standby in Kenosha, Wisconsin, following any verdict.
Just before the Thanksgiving travel period, coronavirus infections are rising in places like the upper Midwest, Southwest, and parts of the Northeast.
And the latest pain from the spike in inflation, rent.
So housing costs in general, and that includes home prices and rent costs, account for a third of the inflation index, the official government inflation index. But what's interesting about that is that there are a lot of economists who think that like the increase in the cost of housing hasn't fully cycled into the official government inflation index yet.
Katie O'Donnell at Politico on expectations that rents could rise 10% over the next year. The little boy fighting for his life after being critically injured at the Astroworld Festival 10 days ago has lost his battle. Nine-year-old Ezra Blunt, who's been on life support since being trampled at the Travis Scott concert in Houston, died yesterday. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The death of young Ezra brings the number of killed at the performance to 10. The deaths took place when fans surged towards the stage. Ezra spent the concert on the shoulders of his father, Treston Blunt, but the boy became one of more than 300 people who sustained injuries. Some had heart attacks. His father detailed the tragic evening on a GoFundMe page. After passing out from lack of oxygen, Mr. Blunt wrote that he regained consciousness with no idea where his son was. The GoFundMe has raised more than $80,000 toward family medical bills. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Family attorney Benjamin Crump has said that any one of several concert officials could have prevented deaths and injuries by stopping the show and turning on the house lights when the chaos in the crowd became apparent. The judge in the Kyle Rittenhouse murder trial said he would allow jurors to consider some lesser charges against the Illinois teenager charged with shooting three men, two fatally, last summer in Wisconsin. Closing arguments are expected today in Kenosha. Joshua Curtis manages a local hardware store and hopes reactions to the verdict are not out of control.
You know, after the verdict, you know, what happens, I don't know. Who knows? but I'd like to hope that, cooler heads will prevail.
Wisconsin, meanwhile, has dispatched 500 National Guard troops and hundreds of nearby police officers will also be available as a precaution to ensure public safety during the conclusion of the trial. Meanwhile, the judge said he would include two lesser charges in the shooting of Anthony Huber. USA Today says a lesser included charge of second-degree intentional homicide instead of first-degree intentional homicide would mean the jury would still have to find that Mr. Rittenhouse intentionally took Mr. Huber's life, but that he did believe he was acting in self-defense. President Biden is hosting a ceremony today to sign the bipartisan infrastructure bill, but some Republicans who support the package don't plan to show up. The roughly $1 trillion bill, which passed the House with the support of most Democrats and 13 Republicans, has exposed a rift within the GOP over whether Republican lawmakers should be cooperating with Democrats, much less celebrating with them. Wyoming Senator John Barrasso voted against it.
Some of the issues in there in terms of energy, I think is going to make energy even more expensive, and I think is going to make the grid less reliable.
Brian Deese is head of the National Economic Council.
We're working with the ports in L.A. and Long Beach, getting them to go 24/7 and getting right to work in implementing this historic infrastructure bill.
The Wall Street Journal says Republican members of Congress who ensured the legislation's success find themselves contending with death threats from outside Congress and calls within their own party to strip them of their House committee assignments. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. Surging gas and grocery prices are constant reminders of inflation, but another creeping trend spells more trouble for people's wallets and Democrats' political fate, and that's rising rents. Katie O'Donnell, financial reporter at Politico, says housing costs just posted one of their largest monthly gains in decades, and many economists expect them to loom large in inflation figures over the next year, heading into the 2022 midterm elections. Katie, what are we looking at?
Housing prices rose 0.4% in October from September, but the main thing here is that because home prices are skyrocketing. They're rising by double-digit percentages. They have been pretty much all year. That has pushed more people to sort of continue renting, and that's putting pressure on rent costs. So people are getting priced out of buying their first home, which means they're still renting. And at the same time, you have people who during the pandemic may have stayed in their parents' basement or stayed with friends. They're moving into cities to take advantage of the jobs recovery. And so right now, we have about a million more renter households than we did in the second quarter, the end of the second quarter last year. So since summer last year, there have been a million new renter households, and all of that is pushing rent costs just up about 9%. They're up 16.4% since January, according to one index.
Jeez. I mean, that has to account, I guess, for a huge portion of the inflation rate that we've seen, right?
It's so housing costs in general, and that includes home prices and rent costs, account for a third of the inflation index, the official government inflation index. But what's interesting about that is that they only survey housing costs once every 6 months. So there are a lot of economists who think that like the increase in the cost of housing hasn't fully cycled into the official government inflation index yet.
Jeez. We're speaking with Katie O'Donnell, financial services reporter at Politico. Her piece is called Biden's Next Inflation Threat: The Rent is Too Damn High. Does the Biden administration plan to try to do something about that?
Sure. So Biden released a statement on Wednesday saying, you know, this is a problem. It's hitting Americans in their pocketbooks. It was sort of a different tone than before Wednesday. They'd kind of emphasized that this is transitory. This is not, you know, the inflation is kind of a blip, but it is the highest inflation since 1990. And so they are starting to sort of message differently around that. There's not much you can do about housing costs in general. It's a supply crisis. Pretty much everyone will tell you that. So there's just a lack of housing to meet demand right now, which means that you ultimately, to get a handle on it, you're going to have to build more housing, but that takes a long time. And so it's sort of, you know, there's food and energy. Well, energy is taken out of the index, but there are other sort of costs that can be ameliorated more quickly than housing. And that's one of the things that I found talking to economists on Wednesday, was that they think that, you know, supply chain issues will be solved a year from now heading into the to the midterms, or they'll at least be like much better than they are now. But housing costs are still going to be rising.
Yeah. You said, too, politically, the question is how rising housing prices net out between renters and homeowners. Explain
right.
that.
So for homeowners, the fact that their property values are going up is a good thing, right? And so if you already own a home, the fact that you're getting, you know, you're going to be able to sell it for much more money, you have more equity right now, the mortgage rates were low last year, so a lot of people refinanced. That's all good. But the fact that there are people who can't buy a home now, people are being priced out of the market, and therefore they're staying, you know, they still have to rent, means that rental costs are going up, especially for the people who can least afford it, right? So the people who were maybe going to buy a home, they can probably afford a little more, you know, a little bit higher monthly rent.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's getting to the point where people in cities are really feeling the pinch. And this is generally, I mean, most tenants, it's their biggest monthly expense is rent.
Sure. How about the political fodder, too, if you'd finish up here on that note?
It's, yeah, I mean, Republicans are already hitting the Biden administration and Democrats for inflation. They're sort of connecting that to this large spending bill that Democrats want to pass. So, yeah, I mean, they've already, you had Mitch McConnell talking about the cost of housing on the Senate floor a month ago. So it's definitely going to be something. I mean, you saw Republicans pick up seats and, you know, in some upset wins. But basically, it's, you know, you're already seeing some of the effects of people being worried about the economy, and Republicans are absolutely going to make hay of that.
Thanks, Katie. Katie O'Donnell, financial services reporter at Politico. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Attorneys are set to make closing arguments today at Kyle Rittenhouse's trial in the shootings of three men during street unrest in Wisconsin. The last word before a jury begins deliberating in a case that underscores the country's bitter divisions on issues including guns, protests, and policing. The 18-year-old faces charges ranging from intentional homicide, punishable by life in prison, to an underage weapons charge that could mean a few months in jail if convicted. Local business owners, including the owner of a diner in Kenosha, Kevin Irvin, are hoping for a calm reaction to any verdict.
Whatever the verdict is, that people are going to, you know, have a little more calmness to them this time and respect the order of law, I hope.
Rittenhouse has argued self-defense in the shootings.
Number two.
President Biden has chosen a supervisor of his $1 trillion infrastructure plan, Mitch Landrieu, who, as New Orleans mayor, pushed the city into recovery after the devastation from Hurricane Katrina. Landrieu will be tasked with coordinating across federal agencies to work on roads, ports, bridges, and airports. Biden is expected to sign the infrastructure bill into law today.
Number three.
Three tornadoes ripped through parts of Long Island over the weekend, toppling trees, downing power lines, and even ripping the roof off a building in Nassau County. Further east, two other twisters touched down in New York, leaving a similar trail of damage. Three tornadoes hit Rhode Island and southeast Connecticut over the weekend, the first since at least 1950 to strike the area in November. About 2 million people who have not been fully vaccinated against COVID have been placed in lockdown in Austria as the country faces a surge in cases. Unvaccinated people will only be permitted to leave home for limited reasons like working or buying food. Europe has again become the region most seriously affected by the pandemic, and several countries are introducing restrictions and warning of rising cases. Disney and Marvel's Eternals took a steep drop in its second weekend in theaters, but it's still hanging on to first place ahead of newcomers like Clifford the Big Red Dog. Eternals added $27.5 million over the weekend, bringing its domestic total to $118.8 million.
You, at this point now, are an unreliable theater dollar, correct? It's too much college basketball now.
Football, basketball, yeah. Soccer. It's a confluence of many things.
You will not catch Jen at a theater. Some people treat investing like a game, but not Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Their digitally managed portfolios are backed by over 150 years of financial experience. So play games with your money or put it to work with a digitally managed portfolio from Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Go to Marcus.com to learn more. Brokerage and advisory services by Goldman Sachs & Company, LLC. Member SIPC. Investments involve risk and may lose value. Thanks for being with us. A new report from Deloitte finds that unvaccinated Americans are more likely to listen to some people about the COVID-19 shot over others. Insight from Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, explain.
For the folks that still are unvaccinated, there's room for persuasion for more people to get vaccinated. It's really just a matter of what you're saying, and even more importantly, who is the person that is doing the saying. So yeah, it's saying, yeah, they will hear you. They will hear you out.
Wow. All right, so that's like a, what are we up to, like 81% of adults roughly who've
right.
been vaccinated?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, the latest count is, you know, around that number. And so we're at the, you know, that's where we are. But again, for this 20%, it's how do you reach them and how much farther does it go? And it's really friends and family and importantly, the personal doctor. Of the person, you know, it's not going to be the Dr. Fauci's of the world or President Biden's or governors or anything like that. It's just kind of gotten beyond that point.
Mm. I guess if you know someone, you communicate on a regular basis, you're more likely to be open to what they're saying.
That's right. You know, it's that trust factor.
Yeah.
You know, I'm You know, I know so-and-so, I grew up with them, or, you know, that's my mom, or that's my, you know, my cousin who, you know, we'd have Thanksgiving together. You know, this guy's, you know, not going to browbeat me and preach at me. He's going to tell me what it was. You know, it's that kind of a thinking of the trust factor of, you know, really talking to people.
Yeah. We're speaking with Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. He's written a piece entitled "Unvaccinated People Will Hear You Out on the COVID Shot as Long as You Don't Work for the Government." So you referenced doctors, and it did seem to a certain extent like doctors having COVID vaccine shots available was a thing too, like the convenience of it. Well, yeah, I'm here, I might as well get a shot.
Right, exactly. You know, of all survey participants here, 70% said they put extreme trust in their personal doctor. But at the same time, when they were asking about the vaccinated respondents, how many of their doctors or nurses had offered the vaccine during a checkup, only 11% said that was the case. And one-third of the portion of the survey, people who are not fully vaccinated, meaning they don't have it, one shot or maybe just have one, say they'd agree to get the shot if it was offered during a regular visit. And then actually the refusers, those hard no's, the people who identified themselves, even 17% said they'd likely, you know, get a shot if it was their doctor offering it to them.
Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Guys, the days of wearing uncomfortable business attire are over, but that's a good thing. You don't have to sacrifice style for comfort thanks to Cuts Clothing. I love their stuff. I've worn my Cuts shirts with pretty much anything from shorts and sandals to suit jackets. They've stayed soft and comfortable, and they look great. They've got an exclusive collection perfect for any occasion or season. Polos, bomber jackets, joggers, and more. There's never been a better time to try Cuts Clothing. They're kicking off the holiday sale season early with 30% off site-wide now through December 3rd. And you know you want to order early this year. Shipageddon 2021 is coming. In preparation, Cuts is starting their sale season early for you with 30% off site-wide starting November 9th so you can have worry-free holiday shopping. Head over to cutsclothing.com today to get 30% off site-wide through December 3rd and upgrade your wardrobe with their world-famous shirts, joggers, or their all-new outerwear. That's C-U-T-S, cutsclothing.com.
The top national stories with the context to make sense of it all. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, November 15. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. A 9-year-old boy is the latest person to die following injuries suffered at the Travis Scott concert. Closing arguments in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial in Wisconsin today. Coronavirus infections rising again in large areas of the country. President Biden signs the infrastructure bill into law today. Dallas police charged a Southwest passenger with aggravated assault after she punched an agent in the head. Chiefs over the Raiders in Sunday Night Football. And the flood of birthday cards for a 100-year-old World War II vet. That story in about 20 minutes. Democrats across the country are facing down the possibility of a bleak 2022 when they must contend with a redistricting process that looks as though it will favor Republicans, resurgent grassroots energy among GOP voters, and historical trends that favor the party out of power in the first midterms under a new president. As part of that, Julia Manchester, national political reporter at The Hill, says Virginia is emerging as ground zero in next year's battle for the House majority. Julia, who are the members of Congress seen as vulnerable?
You have Congresswoman Elaine Loria in the 7th District. That's sort of around the Norfolk, Newport News, part of Virginia, sort of by Virginia Beach, as well as Abigail Spanberger in the Richmond area, which is the 7th District, sort of outside of Richmond. So those are the two probably most vulnerable at this point. However, the night after Glenn Youngkin's win in that election, we saw the National Republican Congressional Campaign Committee decide decided they were going to move Jennifer Wexton's seat, which is in the 10th district, to their battleground list. Now, the 10th district is interesting because it includes Loudoun County, and that's a county that Youngkin and his campaign focused heavily on. They did not win it. However, it has very much been the epicenter of this debate over school choice, parental rights against school boards, that sort of a thing. So clearly the NRCC saw some sort of, strategy and, potential winnable moment there that they moved it. Now, Democrats and Republicans, for that matter, are all cautioning the fact that we do not know what these districts are going to look like a year from now, because we are obviously in the midst of the redistricting process. And in Virginia, that's been a pretty rocky process so far.
All right. So with regards to Congresswoman Spanberger, you referenced that she made some comments recently that raised some eyebrows. What was said and what was she trying to do?
Right. So this was before the bipartisan infrastructure bill was passed. And I just want to put an asterisk on this. Abigail Spanberger was very much pushing for this bipartisan infrastructure bill to be passed long before it was passed, especially in the run up to the Virginia governor's race, really pushing for that victory on Capitol Hill. But, after Terry McAuliffe's defeat in Virginia and Glenn Youngkin's victory, you saw a lot of finger pointing among Democrats. And, at the same time, they were preparing to pass this legislation, figuring out where to go next with Build Back Better. And Spanberger essentially said, look, we did not elect Joe Biden to be FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We elected him to put an end to the chaos and sort of get back to normality in Washington. Now, that was seen as a bit of a shot at her progressive counterparts who are pushing for these big sweeping spending bills. And it got a lot of negative pushback from those progressive lawmakers or progressive allies, if you will. But what Abigail Spanberger was essentially doing when she was talking about that was really representing the views of her district. Look, she is not in an ultra blue district. The 7th district of Virginia, as it's drawn now, is a very swingy district, and it has a lot of conservative voters in it. So I think those comments are very reflective of the views a lot of those voters feel.
Well, we're speaking with Julia Manchester, national politics reporter at The Hill. Her story is called Virginia Emerging as Ground Zero in Battle for House Majority. There was, a Republican operative in your story who said progressive messaging and Trump bashing are not working.
They aren't. And you saw in so Terry McAuliffe, for example, he is not what I would say call a progressive. He is much more of a moderate centrist Democrat. He did not during the campaign push to defund the police or push for, tout support for Medicare for All, that sort of a thing. He is much more moderate. However, one of the messaging missteps he did make during the campaign was trashing Donald Trump potentially more than he attacked Glenn Youngkin. And he really tied Glenn Youngkin to Donald Trump to the point where we heard more about that than policy on his side of the race. So that's one thing that clearly did not appear to work for Democrats. For Glenn Youngkin, sure, he absolutely took shots at McAuliffe and the Democrats. However, he very much was disciplined with his messaging and stayed focused on his messaging, whether it was combating inflation, rising prices, or parental rights. He very much tried to make this a race about policy, and it appeared to be successful. So going forward, Democrats who are running in Virginia need to be careful about that.
Thanks, Julia. Julia Manchester, national political reporter at The Hill. By the way, an ABC News Washington Post poll published yesterday found if midterm elections were held now, 51% of all registered voters say they would vote for a Republican in their congressional district, as opposed to 41% who said they'd go with a Democrat. That's the largest lead since 1981. Coming up next, the mic drop. So the year plus of remote meetings is ending, right? Time to get back to the office. So about that beard. If you've realized the scruffy look that worked on a webcam isn't fitting the all business look you're trying to get back to, don't worry. Harry's can help. Harry's crafts high-quality, long-lasting blades and durable, weighted handles that make a close, comfortable shave quick and, believe it or not,
enjoyable, and refill blades start as low as $2. New customers can get started with Harry's with a starter set, a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover, usually $13 for just $3. The starter set and the incredibly close shave convinced me right away to switch to Harry's. I've been using Harry's for years. I think you'll love it too. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. harrys.com/deal to get the special offer. H-A-R-R-Y-S. harrys.com/deal.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Monday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it appears after multiple run-ins with the law across the country, those HOV lanes are still too tempting for single drivers not to try to sneak into. The latest comes from New York, where Suffolk County Police said in an Instagram post that one of its officers was on the road one morning last week when a car traveling in the HOV lane didn't look quite right. Upon further inspection, the officer realized that the front seat passenger was not a passenger at all, but rather a jacket pulled over the headrest with a hat placed on top. The driver was ticketed for an HOV occupancy violation.
Yeah.
I actually had a little experience with this when I was coming back from my vacation last week. Came back into one of the New York airports, and the timing was unfortunate that it was in the middle of absolute rush hour afternoon traffic.
Right.
So we were on one of the highways trying to get back to New Jersey, and HOV lane right there, right next to us. And the sign says you have to have at least three people in the HOV lane. And of course, I'm trying to be a good citizen that I am. I have two people. My girlfriend is sitting next to me.
Yes.
But I'm trying to be a good citizen and, you know, so abide by the rules. And I'm seeing people with one person just flying right by me, just, you know, one right after another. So I made the, executive decision there that I had two people, so I at least was doing better than those people, and I'm going to jump into that lane. And that did. I mean, that probably cut about 20 minutes off of our drive home at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where were you at the time?
So in New York, coming back from a JFK airport,
just in case
Queens, Brooklyn or Queens, I believe.
I'm just saying, in case New York police wanted to review camera footage on the highways and issue you a ticket by mail, they would know where to find you.
They're going to send me a ticket. I got about, at least 20 other people that I saw flying by me. One person in a work truck flying by me getting to where they were going.
I'm not going down alone.
Yeah, exactly. I'm taking everybody down with me. And Seattle Seahawks coach Pete Carroll is the oldest coach in the NFL at 70 years old, so it could be plausible that he'd be carrying around an old school flip phone in his pocket. Lots of football fans had jokes about that after it appeared that the coach tossed a flip phone toward referees when he couldn't find his challenge flag during the first half of yesterday's game against the Packers. TV cameras zoomed in on the object falling from Carroll's pocket, and it definitely had the shape and gray color of a flip phone from the early 2000s. Unfortunately, according to USA Today, the object was most likely an electronic hand warmer, a necessity on a day with 20-degree wind chill temperatures in Green Bay. NFL rules also prohibit cell phones on the sideline with the exception of medical personnel. The good news is that the ref decided to accept the hand warmer toss as a legitimate challenge. The bad news, Carroll still didn't win the challenge.
Ah, ouch.
did look very flip phony, though.
Could the Packers have challenged the challenge?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right.
Say that, look, that's not allowed to be a challenge. Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Probably. And the game would still be going on. We just could keep going back and forth with the challenges.
I wonder about referee discretion there. Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Does this count? What else can I drop? My headset? My shoe? What else counts as a red flag?
That ref's probably going to get chewed out this week in a meeting. That's what I'm going to guess.
Possible. Thanks, Mike. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Capital One. Getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit is another reason banking with Capital One is one of the easiest decisions ever. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A., member FDIC. New research from Auto Pacific identifies the things we want most and least in new cars. KBB says the features most of us want, number one, heated seats, then blind spot monitoring, followed by front and rear parking sensors, all-wheel or four-wheel drive, lane departure warning, and things like Apple CarPlay and or Android Auto. Features nearly nobody wants, fully autonomous hands-free driving with no steering wheel, concierge services, and gesture controls. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden's top economic advisor is expressing confidence the White House's $1.8 trillion domestic policy package will quickly pass the House this week, and says approval couldn't come at a more urgent time as prices of consumer goods spike. Brian Deese, director of the National Economic Council, also told ABC the infrastructure bill will be good for the country.
We're working with the ports in LA and Long Beach, getting them to go 24/7. And getting right to work in implementing this historic infrastructure bill.
Number two.
A 9-year-old Dallas boy has become the youngest person to die from injuries sustained during a crowd surge at the Astroworld Music Festival in Houston. Ezra Blunt of Dallas died yesterday at Texas Children's Hospital in Houston. He had been placed in a medically induced coma after suffering serious injuries in the November 5th crush of fans during a performance by Travis Scott. Blunt is the 10th person who attended the festival to die.
Number three.
President Biden set to speak with Chinese President Xi Jinping today. As tensions between Beijing and Washington mount, the virtual meeting will be the third conversation between the pair since Biden took office and the first since news outlets reported in mid-October that China in August tested a nuclear-capable hypersonic missile, causing alarm among U.S. intelligence officials. Southwest Airlines says one of its employees was assaulted by a passenger Saturday afternoon following a verbal altercation. The incident happened during boarding on a flight from Dallas to New York. According to Dallas police, the passenger boarded the flight and had a confrontation with several flight attendants who ordered her to leave the plane. She punched an agent in the head. That agent was taken to a local hospital and is in stable condition. If you're not already receiving child tax credit payments, the deadline to sign up for them is today. The credit provides up to $300 per month per child under age six for a total of $1,800 and up to $250 per month per child ages 6 to 17 for a total of $1,500. For those already registered, a child tax credit payment should be coming to your bank account today. The payments began in July and will last through December as part of the American Rescue Plan.
All right. Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, saluting a 100-year-old World War II vet with hundreds of birthday cards. Isn't fine print annoying? Every big wireless provider has it. That's where they always hide the catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch? Turns out there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. No retail stores means no crazy overhead costs that sneak onto your bill as mystery fees. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone and keep your same number with all your existing contacts. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile's 7-day money-back guarantee has you covered. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, visit mintmobile.com/Gordon. That's mintmobile.com/Gordon. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. When World War II veteran Claudia Cantu of Corpus Christi, Texas, turned 100 last month, she was hoping she would get 100 birthday cards. Instead, she got almost 800. Her daughter, Christine McGill, organized the request. She told Fox News the cards came from away as Alaska and Canada. The youngest well-wishers were second graders at a school in Corpus Christi. Some local teachers even taught a lesson about Ms. Cantu and her war experiences. She joined the Women's Auxiliary, Army Auxiliary Corps in 1942 when she was 21. Ms. McGill said her mother was inspired to enlist because both her brothers had gone off to war and she missed them. In 1947, she married her husband, who she had known since high school and who had also served in World War II, together. They raised four children. For her birthday, she had several celebrations, including a family party with three of her four children, her eight grandchildren, and her five great-grandchildren. There was also a surprise luncheon with her poker group. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.